Welcome to the Rainmaker Podcast, where we elevate marketing leaders inside and out. I'm your host, Veronica Romney, master marketer, executive leader, and mentor to ambitious marketing leaders wanting to advance their careers. Each episode is filled with genuine, unscripted conversations with some of the world's top marketing experts, accomplished leaders, and industry trailblazers representing brands, both large and small. Our goal with this podcast and everything we do is to help you master your role, nurture your team, prioritize your well-being, and evolve into an industry-leading rainmaker. This is the Rainmaker Podcast. Welcome to the free 30-minute micro class. We're going to learn something hyper-specific today, hyper-specific. We're going to learn how to promote ourselves in 2024. I've actually never taught this to my own rainmakers before, and I'm teaching it to you for the first time live. And for free, as evident by me forgetting to turn on camera. And we're not only going to promote ourselves tactically, strategically, but we're also going to do it in a way that feels integral and not weird. We're going to do it without working more hours because that's not going to get you the money that you deserve. Trust me. We're also going to do it without having to badmouth any of our competing colleagues if they, let's say, were up for the promotion or desire the same type of position. And we're not going to do it awkwardly by like bragging about ourselves because let's not do that. Now, with a title like this, one can only assume that you are here to make more money. Is that a fair assumption? I did research, and I mean, first of all, I'm a 15-year marketing vet, so I know what it is to be a marketer. But also, if you actually like research this, over 70% of marketing professionals feel completely stuck in their careers, and most haven't gotten a promotion in title nor pay in the last 2 years. So like, that sucks. And when I interview people, or ask them like, you know, where these marketers are kind of meeting me, when they answer the survey, how much are they currently making? Did you know that majority of marketers are actually making somewhere between 65 and 85,000? That's like the bulk of marketing professionals right now in the marketplace, which is wild. But when you ask a marketing professional what they aspire to make, it's like a lot more, right? Anywhere between 150 to 250 plus when you factor in total compensation. So whatever your base is for your time and you like clocking in the hours, and then what you're hopefully also going to be making on the top for epic rainmaking, you know, money generating performance and compensation in the form of like spiffs and stuff. So that's clearly like a pretty significant gap between where you are and where you want to be. And I'm no shock to anyone. I think marketing professionals are some of the hardest working professionals on the planet. So it's not like I feel like you don't deserve it. I think marketers like do so much because marketing is such a broad category of a title. So I feel like we are also like end of funnel. Like if they don't know where to put something, give it to marketing or give it to the marketing person because hopefully they'll figure it out. And so I like to call marketers or refer to marketers as like ambitiously frustrated human beings because you're equal parts frustrated by your circumstances, but you are still ambitious enough for wanting more. Like you wouldn't even be on this presentation or on this call if you had already given up on yourself or the situation or the industry, which in really severe cases happens. Like we see marketers abandoning ship, or what I say, abandoning their craft, which is like devastating. Obviously, I don't want that for you. You're here because you don't want that for yourself. So we're going to own our future. But owning our future is not, again, about working more. Like you've already clocked it in, guys. Owning your future, getting advancement, getting more money, getting more pay has more to do with making sure that you are seen and recognized, which also doesn't just happen. Like if you build it, they will come. No, like that's not, no, that doesn't actually work. Talk that to any SEO expert. Like you actually have to be strategic, be your own publicist to make sure that you are being seen and recognized for all that you have already achieved and have yet to achieve in the future. Okay. And then the last thing that I'll say, my husband, this is like a personal story. My husband recently got promoted to VP of sales at $100 million software company. And it was like the Hunger Games. Okay. And so this is like a real present thing. And of course I'm like conversing and coaching him. I mean, he probably wouldn't call it coaching, but I definitely was. And when you're up for these moments in your career, it's not like the odds aren't against you or there are elements stacked on top of already like getting over the nerves of asking for more money. So like, I just wanted to showcase some of the things that he was up against because it might resonate with you. One, there could be a new leader on board. So not only are you wanting more money, more advancement, more better title, et cetera, but there also could be the scenario where like the boss that did see everything that you did is no longer available or within the walls of the organization to like testify of your awesomeness. So that sucks. Like, the new person making a decision, I don't have any bankable relationship equity with them. Like, crap. Two, you might be up against somebody who might be better. What does that even mean? But like maybe more senior, more, they're either older, like actually older, or they have an MBA and you don't. There's some kind of accolade, achievement, whatever, that you feel like, shoot, I don't have that. And they have a competitive advantage up on me. Clearly, imposter syndrome is something that affects all marketers at every level. I've actually worked with people who make multiple six figures that still have like ridiculous imposter syndrome. It doesn't actually go away unless you deal with it, whether you're at 65,000 a year or 650,000 a year. And then the other thing that my husband was like wildly unprepared for, which you might feel this way as marketing professionals as well, is like chess politics. Like, ugh, like I'm not a gamey person. I'm very sincere. I want to be in integrity and congruent with my values, but like, I feel like I have to play chess. I feel like I have to play politics to like have this come to pass, and like it feels gross. So what happens? What happens in these scenarios when you have things stacked against you is what we see often with marketers is they tend to shrink themselves to what they think others will perceive their value to be versus strategically puffing your like peacock chest and all your colors and position your actual value. So what I want to give you today is kind of in the pursuit of this formula, which to me, like anything that we achieve, any goal that you set, you make micro, like it's one big goal has micro goals in between, but you can't even achieve micro goals if you don't have clarity. Because to me, when you have clarity on what to do and how to do it, you therefore have confidence to actually get it done. It's very difficult to achieve something if you're not clear on the actual movements to like perform this dance. So I want to give you clarity with really tactical things that you can do today that will give you more confidence, more stamina, more of that cure to the imposter syndrome so that you're not shrinking, but you're spreading your peacock wings. That's weird. Anyways, goals of the masterclass are as such. I want to help you strategically position yourself in a new way. We're going to create a promote me letter. That's the first thing we're going to do. And then I'm going to talk about what I call it the triple threat. It's like the triple threat, and it's an endorsement strategy that goes like way beyond just like a singular LinkedIn recommendation. So I'll teach you how I do this and how I have done this for myself and every single jump that I've made in my career that has always served me very, very well. People on the call who know me, Macy, shout out, and my Rainmakers, you know who I am. I'm Veronica Romney. For those of you, this is the first time we're meeting, just a quick intro. I'm Veronica Romney. I've been a marketing professional for 16 years, which makes me feel old. I graduated with my degree in marketing. Like, this is all I've ever known. It's like, other than my husband, this is the most consistent relationship I've ever been in. I love marketing. It's still good to me. I'm good to it, but I've seen it from every angle. I've been an agency owner. I've been an account manager in an agency twice. I've worked in corporate. I've worked privately. I have worked for private clients. I've been one of many. I work for privately held companies, publicly traded companies. Like, I've seen, teams, huge teams, marketing teams with enormous budgets. And I've been the only team member on the marketing team. I've seen it all. I also have this really cool podcast that gives me the opportunity to talk to other cool marketers called the Rainmaker Podcast. If you haven't had a chance to listen to any of the episodes, they're pretty awesome. And we talk about topics like this. And I have the honor and privilege of mentoring ambitious marketers inside a program called the Rainmaker Residency. And here are some of their beautiful faces and some of them are on the call. The term that I'll see or that you'll see me say a lot is Rainmaker. I don't actually care what you're called. Like, I don't care if you're a VP of marketing, a head of marketing, a senior vice president, a director. Like, I think all of us know that marketing can be BS sometimes. And sometimes what you do doesn't even fit the title that you have. Let's be very clear. And so to me, I'm like, when I developed my program, like, I'm not going to call this like the chief marketing officer factory, because again, I don't think it's the title that defines your worth. To me, it's like a position of mastery. So to me, a rainmaker is somebody who is a master of self, master of their role, master of their team's performance, including their own, and a master of themselves, their influence, their reputation. So that's why you're going to hear me say rainmakers, because yes, we make it rain, but also we challenge ourselves to be a master of these spheres of influence that really take us to the next level, way beyond just a title on paper, right? Are you ready to transform from burned out marketer to sought out marketing leader with a multi six figure salary of success? Like, so cheesy, like, ha-ching. Oh, yeah, let's do it. All right, so let's talk about writing a letter. This is a really tactical thing. By the way, if you signed up for VIP, you got the workbook. So you can pull out your workbooks right now. If you don't have it, don't worry, just grab a piece of paper. So we're going to actually go through the construction of what I call the promote me letter. Now, the promote me letter is on the basis that you're actually going to take the shot. So I'm not like a hockey fanatic, but you do miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. So whether or not you are formally offered a position of promotion, I don't care. You can put your hat in the ring at any moment in your career and signal to the decision maker that you are ready for more. All right. Like, can I get an amen? You can put yourself out there. And it seems like we have mostly women on this call. So, ladies, take your shot, channel your Beyonce or whatever you need to do, and take the shot. Because, like, I find it always like puzzles me, like, why we get surprised that people don't know we wanted more opportunities. Like, that's on us. That's not on them. That's not on them for being oblivious. And we get mad and we like generate all this negative energy about somebody else's failure to acknowledge how awesome we are, but we don't get mad at ourselves for putting ourselves out there. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That doesn't work like that. So I love the book Extreme Ownership. Big fan. Let's go. Extreme Ownership. Let's put ourselves in there. So the formula for the promote me letter goes like this: get it, want it, capacity for it, and earned it. So let's talk about get it. I mean, it seems obvious, but it's not. Like, I actually need you to articulate that you get how this promoted position affects the future direction of the company. I need you to articulate to the person that who is going to read this letter, distribute this letter. It's going, like, if you think about it, yes, your direct manager should be the first person to get this letter. But if you're in a bigger organization, they're giving it to HR, they're giving it to their manager, manager, manager. Like, this gets moved. So this becomes your internal memo of like, see me, I want more. Okay. If you're a small team, it's a shocking, you guys. Even if you're on a small team and it's like you and your boss, you give it the letter to your boss. Guess what? They're still going to give it to people that they trust. It could be a spouse at home. It could be another business colleague that they have, but this letter gets circulated. So we're going to be very, very intentional with what we put in it. And to me, the first thing that I want you to put on this paper, and like, it doesn't have, again, this is not an essay. We're not in fifth grade. It's just concise understanding that you get it. You get the future direction the company wants to take and how this role or the responsibilities of this role will fit into that. Because what I want them to see, what I want their peers to tell them is like, well, clearly this person gets what you're trying to do. That's what I want their friends and trusted advisors to tell them. Like, well, clearly this candidate gets what the company's trying to do here. Like, that's a bankable win. I also, again, we're marketing professionals. I'm not talking to engineers. I'm not talking to customer service reps. I'm talking to marketers. So you definitely have to show how not only do you get it, but you get that this role and then its, associated responsibilities also directly affect revenue and profitability for the company. You're probably going to hear me mention different books. I believe that readers are leaders. I love books, and there's some really, really great books out there. Extreme Ownership by Jocko Willink is one I already said. Chris Voss, Never Split the Difference, is another great one. So, in Chris Voss, if you don't know him, he is like the guy that would do negotiations with terrorists on behalf of the United States. It's wild, some of the stuff that he did. But he breaks down negotiation tactics. And one of the tactics that he breaks down is called labels. So labels equals validating someone's emotions by acknowledging them. And then he gives you techniques. He says, it seems like, it sounds like, it looks like. So even if you're not like 100% sure that you fully understand the direction of the company because your CEO is changing their mind, like they change, their underwear, you can still try to articulate, it seems like the company is going in this direction. It sounds like profitability is a concern. It looks like we need more help in marketing, whatever. So you can use this language, direct copy. Obviously, ChatGPT can always help you. Ching, ching, chatty, but chatty also like removes your voice. So just watch for that. But I love the label strategy from Chris Voss. I'm a big fan, and it has always served me really well, especially in verbal communication. But I would love to see it in your letter. Okay, so get it. Dun, dun, dun. Want it. Oh, like I'm so weird. I'm such a nerd, you guys. Mind my weird sounds. I want you to list three very specific reasons why you want this role at this time. At this time. And the three areas that I would like to emphasize is one, I personally want it. Personally, my husband, right? Like, I want to be VP of sales. Why? Why do you want to be VP of sales right now? Okay. Two, it professionally benefits me. And three, the company is going to be benefited by me having this. Think about all the layers and the angles of wanting. Personally, I want it. Professionally, it advances me and my aspirations, and the company will be benefited from me. This is really important. We're in a season of time where tenure retention is a big deal and also a big problem. Okay. A lot of people are leaving companies very quickly. I mean, those 20-year tenures are kiss it goodbye, right? But we still want employees to stay more than 6 months to be with. And we too, by the way, as staff members, we don't want to also like be going through, and this is not a white one night stand situation. Like, we want to stay in a company where we feel appreciated and like valued. So you have to show the company and or your direct manager or employer that my personal and professional aspirations align perfectly, directly with where the company and the organization are also going. Because when my personal aspirations are being achieved while serving the company's aspirations, what that means and signals to them is you're going to stay. So you're not just getting promoted to get a title and then leave and use them, because that happens. People get titles, they take the title, they put on the resume, and they bounce. I'm behind the scenes. I'm having the conversation with HR. Like, I've had all these conversations. These are the things that we talk about. So you show that your personal aspirations align with the company's aspirations, because what that signals is that you are going to, there's a higher likelihood of your retention, and not just you staying, but high performance. Capacity for it. Oh my gosh. Listen up, my very family-centric professionals. I feel like most marketers that abandon ship is because marketing and family life doesn't seem like it works together. Especially for females. So again, I'm not trying to like discriminate against men. Love men, married a man, birth two men. But I'm just saying that women in particular, I think, have this challenge, especially because of us, because of biologically. So what I'm saying here, and I told the same thing to my husband, because my husband is still the father of two young boys, right? We have a 7 and a 10-year-old, right? And family life is everything to us. I will not die having regret that I didn't give my children more of me than my jobs. Okay. You need to, in black and white, articulate that you have the personal capacity and the family and or friend circle to support you taking on this new role and all that it demands. It is always a concern for employers and decision makers. So why don't you just address the elephant in the room? Don't let them speculate on your personal capacity to fulfill a professional obligation. Do not do that. They're having the conversations, HR appropriately or not, regardless. So tell them that yes, I do have personal capacity for this professional obligation. And here's why. My husband told him, look, first of all, my wife is a high professional and she supports me. I've personally hired sales coaches to help me master my skill. I read every single morning or listen to podcasts. He basically laid out, yes, in spite of the fact that I have two little ones at home, two man cubs that are half naked at the time, I do have professional capacity for this. And here are all the reasons why. Not only do I have the support of my spouse, but I've also invested in myself. Thank you very much, outside of company dime. So, like, versus his colleague that was also up for the position, you guys, just to give you insight, the conversations they were having about him was like, well, his son's about to graduate high school. Maybe they're going to retire. Like they were speculating. So like, it actually doesn't matter how old your kids are. It's wild to me how people, in the absence of you clarifying it for them, they'll assume negatively. It's wild. And I think it's harder on women, female professionals than male professionals, if I'm being radically honest with you, because I've again been witness to those conversations. So just tell them. And the last thing is, I've earned it. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. I've earned it. There's a book by Harvard Business Review. They have some great case studies and stuff, but there was a quote that I loved. It said, like, we can get more money when we demonstrated that we've added more value. We can get more money if we've demonstrated we've added more value. So, how has any of your previous revenue-centric achievements perfectly prepared you to make bankable wins in the first 30 days? People are betting on you and they don't want to make the wrong choice, and we don't want to have buyer's remorse in anything. Think about it. Like, we don't want to like regret the house that we bought or the boat or the whatever. Shit, like even my own like cell phone case, like we don't want buyer's remorse. Same thing for you. So you want to articulate how, like, not only are you a safe bet, but you have bankable wins to show that I am a performer in the past and I will perform again. It's like why presidents are like, in the first 90 days, I will do this thing. Like, it's because we want to share the vision of how we're going to perform and how they can actually like see proof of concept, proof of purchase very, very soon. Okay. So, triple threat strategy. So, we're going to implement how to transfer relationship equity from one boss to another, or just make ourselves more popular. Like, can somebody cue Wicked? Popular. Anyways, you know who marketers are actually the worst at marketing is actually ourselves. We're the worst. So, look, I'm not going to call you out because that's not nice, but I am definitely going to call you up. Companies and products aren't the only ones who need to show proof of concept and raving reviews. You also need to show that you are credible and that people are basically counting on you and voting for you. It's wild. Like, people want to vote for the popular kid. So I need you to show through your endorsements, your strategic endorsements, that you too are the popular kid. So how others see you is really, really important, right? It's the power of personal branding and previous relationship deposits. Now is the time to call them up. Your colleagues going up to your decision maker and vouching for you and voting for you is a huge deal. So what I like to do, and you again on a piece of paper right now, I want you to write down like the first three people that pop up to your head from inside of the organization, outside the organization. I don't care where they come from. Like, if things are firing off for you right now as I'm talking and teaching you, take action immediately and put on a piece of paper on who are people that can actually vouch for you, endorse you. Okay. Now, here's my 360 social proof strategy. I want to have three reviews and I want to have it in this category, in this kind of cocktail. So the first one is, I want some type of social proof of, I used to work for them. I used to work with you. So, like, somebody for me, like, I used to work for Veronica and she was a phenomenal leader. I became the person that I am because of her stewardship, because of her counsel, because of her mentorship for me. Like, again, I'm clocking in proof of past experience and past performance when it comes to people. So, if this new promoted position requires team responsibility, it would be really wise to have anybody that you've had an influence over that would show your leadership abilities. The second category of endorsement is, I want to work for them. So, this is really important. A lot of you will be promoted vertically. So what would be great is if the people that were on the same level as you, like your peers, would vouch for you to say, if anybody had to get promoted, I wish it was Scott or I wish it was Veronica so that I could actually report to them. It's like what we see in the NFL all the time when like previous players become coaches, like the players that used to play for the coaches get excited, right? It's the same idea. Like, if you guys were peers, I want your peers telling your decision maker that they want you to be their leader. You know how powerful that is? Because what could happen is, if you get promoted and you don't have the support of your peers, now you're having turnover issues, potentially a risk other pockets in the company. And the third endorsement is, I want somebody to testify of how much they love working with you. So, like, this is, again, this could happen inside the company, this could happen outside the company, but this is my three cocktails. I used to work for Veronica and loved it. I wish I could report to Veronica. And the last category, I think if I could add an extra dimension or tip, would be somebody outside of your immediate team or previous team. So like chief financial officer said that they would love to work with Veronica in her promoted capacity, or the integrator or the operations person. Like if you could get somebody in a different division or a different discipline in the company endorsing you, that would be huge. Because if you really think about it, as you come up in your career, you're going to interact with people who have nothing to do with your discipline. They're not going to be on the marketing team. You're going to work with legal. You're going to work with ops. You're going to work with like the salespeople. So like if your new friends in their promoted place want to work with you, that's a really good signal that you're also going to be a very safe and popular bet. Okay. So we are coming down to the end. I told you this was going to be punchy and tactical. Last thing that I'll say is I get to help, again, I have the honor and the privilege of helping my Rainmakers every single day. So I work with marketing professionals every week and I help them position themselves for raise, get out of their own way, 2 to 3 times their prices if they're, you know, fractional or consultative or whatever, help them market themselves uniquely, and more importantly, just believe in themselves. And I do this inside a program called the Rainmaker Residency. I'm not pitching you this. I'm actually inviting you to our next coaching call if you would like to come. So if you would like to get a taste of what we do inside the walls of the Rainmaker Residency, you can actually join us for free in our next coaching call. All you have to do is go to therainmakerresidency.com. You'll see on that page, like how we do what we do, the magic of our program. And then you can participate in a coaching call so you can get a real taste of what we do and how we help people like rise up. Thank you for joining us on today's Rainmaker podcast. Marketers help other marketers. So if there's a marketer in your life who could really use a new perspective in a way that helps them advance their career, please pass this episode forward. Share, like, leave us a review. Everything helps as we embark on helping as many marketers elevate themselves inside and out. You can always visit veronicarami.com for today's show notes, additional links to some free resources and tools for you to help you advance your career. You can always connect with us on social media at @VRami if you want more behind the scenes or a way for us to connect personally. Until next time, my friends, make it rain.